We're in lesson 23, and we left off talking about a kingdom, and we still have some verses to talk about there. So Daniel chapter 2, verse 45, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, as it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone which was cut of a mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces of iron and brass and clay and silver and gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dreams is certain, and interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king also answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings and revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him a ruler over the whole province of Babylon and a chief of governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, and Daniel sat in the gate of the king." Now, as I was saying before, we were looking at something about the kingdom, and there's a lot of more verses we need to go through, because you need to see that kingdom that Daniel is talking about, that God is going to set up in verse 44, is a physical, literal, visible kingdom. It's not no spiritualized kingdom that a lot of people out there preaches today. So as you think about the timeline, and without the dispensation of grace in there, this is what your Bible looks like in the prophetic calendar. Okay? Well, if it stays. And so you know where I'm at. But anyway, Isaiah chapter 9, Jeremiah 23, and Joel chapter 2. As we once again think about what we was doing last lesson, and Isaiah 2, verse 1 and through 3, the word of that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And he's talking about there's going to come a pass that God's going to set up a kingdom on this earth through his son, Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 5, it says, Jesus says, Jerusalem is the city of the great king. So we know that that's what that is. Amen? So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is a very important verse that many of you may know. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with the justice from hereforth even forever. You know, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this." It is whose government?
God.
Yes, it's his government. And God was committed his energy of getting these things performed. It will be an earthly kingdom with Christ as the head of that king. Now, we know in prophecy, Israel's looking for a king, aren't they? They're also looking for a kingdom. And God put that in them forever, since Abraham. But we know in the body of Christ, God is the head of a body. He's not a head of a nation. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will rise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." This is going to happen where? In the heavens, right?
No.
Where does it say?
On the earth.
In the earth. Okay? And in the days of Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord of our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, did he do that? But what is he saying that no more is going to happen? Saith, no more that the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the country whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. He reigns in righteousness and prospers where? In the earth. So it is an earthly kingdom. So I think that's pretty significant that he's not saying, hey, Israel just didn't come. I no longer liveth. I brought Israel out of Egypt. But he's taken a seed into the land. That's the same seed of Abraham. With me, a couple lessons ago, we can call Abraham Father Abraham. Why?
Dual
fathership by faith. See, he was saved in uncircumcision, not in circumcision. Therefore, that's why we can say Father Abraham. It's by faith. If you have the same faith that Abraham has today in what Christ did at Calvary almost 2,000 years ago, that's saving faith. With me? You don't have faith in him putting you in a land. That's Israel's promise. Go to Joel chapter 2. So I think it's very important that he took the seed of the house of Israel there. With me? No longer just that child. By the way, what did God told Moses when he go tell Pharaoh to let my what? Let my firstborn go. That's when Israel was born first over here. They have to be born again over here. With me? There's three times in your Bible born again is mentioned. And none of it has to do with you and I. Don't get upset, but it don't. Two times in John chapter 3, and he's talking to who? Nicodemus, and Peter mentions it. So you're not born again because he didn't want me the first time where I was born. When you trust Christ Jesus, died for your sins, bear rose again, he makes you a new creation, a new creature, something brand spanking new. That's exciting. And you're in Christ. Joel chapter 2. And beginning at Joel chapter 2, verse 15, the scripture's about this tribulation time. And that's where we're at in Daniel. The first three chapters of Daniel is dealing with that little remnant, that little faithful remnant of Israel in that bad tribulation period. That's what that whole picture of it is about. And that's what Joel was talking. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assembly the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then the Lord be jealous for the land and his pity his people. So what's going on there? Who's ruling over Israel at this time? What's it sound like? We're in Daniel chapter 2. What's happening? Times of the Gentiles. From over here to over there, it hasn't changed. And they're praying that don't let these kings rule over us. Okay? Joel chapter 3, verse 16. Because they're saying, where is your God? Man, they say that to you today, don't they? Mm-hmm. A lot of people that claim to be atheists. And in the Bible, there is no such thing as atheists. if you believe Romans chapter 1. But, you know, the people, Asnoxus, if I'm pronouncing that right, they don't know who what the God to believe. You know what I mean? So you got people out there, where is your God at today? Why ain't he healing us? Why ain't he doing this? Why is he letting little children die? You hear that all the time, don't you? You know, what's the answer to that?
He's not a respected person.
He's not a respected person's one, but what's the other answer?
We're
in this space and grace. Satan's rule the world. The world, the earth is cursed. There's sin cursed. We're all going to die. You just don't want to die the second death. You with me? I try to stay healthy, try to work my body and stuff like that. Guess what? I'm still going to die. Yeah. You don't want to die unsaved. And if you die, you don't get a second chance, guys. You got to remember that. That's the only unpardonable sin that God will not forgive you is you die unsaved. I can't pray you out of that grave. And apparently they was doing it in Corinthian days. Baptizing for the dead and all that stuff. You can't do that. It may appease your mind and body. You're going to end up over here in judgment over here. Chapter 3, verse 16. Did I read that already? No. And the Lord also shall roar out of Zion. That's a big Z, by the way. That's the big mountain. And utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord, with the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. This is the second coming over here. That's what's going to take place over here in second coming. Verse 17, 18. So shall ye know that I am the Lord. Is that all caps?
Yeah.
Who is that referring to?
Jehovah.
God the Father. Okay. The Lord, I am Lord, your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through her anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with honey, and the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and the fountains shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Siddim? This is all on the earth that this is going to take place. And there's an earth. This is all the earthly blessing in the earthly kingdom. And as I shared last week, or last lesson, whether you want to be a Bible believer or not, that's between you and God. Whether you want to be a scientist or not, that's between you and God. Whether you don't want to believe science at all, you know, this millions and billions of years that it took the earth to separate is foolishness. You ever heard of Peleg, if I pronounce his word right?
Peleg, yeah.
You know what his name means?
Division.
And from the time he was born to the time he has died, the earth started separating.
Continent shifts.
Okay? At one time, all the continents was together. And when it's all said and done, it's going to happen again. And the mountains are going to be brought low, and the valley is going to be exalted, and the crooked's going to be straight, and it's going to be plains. And there's going to be one river, as we read, all coming out of the throne of God, and it's going to nourish the earth. And there's going to be a tree on each side, and the tree is going to heal the nations. And those nations, and when it's all said and done, coming over here, we'll get to that, will come to take the lees and be healed and live forever. Okay? They don't have a glorified body like you and I'll have a glorified body. But it's coming for them. And all the earth blessings is in the earthly kingdom. Verse 19 through 21. Egypt shall be desolate, and Edom shall be as a desolate wilderness. For the violence against the children of Judah, because they shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation and generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion. You can't get any plainer than that. It's an earthly kingdom where God is going to dwell in the midst of them. Okay, over here. It's very important for Daniel to let the little flock understand that God hasn't forgot about them. With me? Amos chapter 9. And get Zechariah 14. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9, verse 11. In that day will I rise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build in it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, shall the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and treader of the grapes him that soweth seeds, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. There's such abundance that a man's trying to reap the harvest is going to catch up to the man that's planting the spring. See what's going on? He's going to catch up with them. Verse 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities, inhabit in them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall make the gardens and eat the fruit thereof. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Ask yourself this. Has that ever happened?
No.
It hasn't happened yet, has it? But people say Israel's in their land right now. And we pop billions and billions of dollars over there. But I'm telling you something. God Almighty's going to do this. He don't need the United Nations to do that. He says, I will take you out of the land of the heathen, and I will sprinkle clean water on you. You know what baptism is? Sprinkling. It's not pouring, not smearing, it's sprinkling. Remember Moses dipped that and went like this. And he baptized that whole children of Israel that way. God's going to do it. With me? That's exciting. Because I believe what God says. I don't care what you and I say, we can disagree all day long. But look, verses after verses stack up one to another and they keep going. But you got to get the idea that God's words teaches that there is going to be an eternal, everlasting, earthly, physical, literal, visible kingdom where Christ is going to reign over the earth. Okay? I think many of us believe that. You know, many of us have been taught that and we... Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the house rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord goeth forth and fight against those nations, and as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives which shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east, towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half the mountain shall be removed towards the north, and half the mountain half towards the south. Jerusalem is rifled and taken by the Antichrist during this time. And then the Christ is standing on the Mount of Olives where he left in Acts chapter 1. That's where he took off. And that's where he's coming back. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In the day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. What is the Lord king over?
Earth.
How much of the earth?
All
the earth. Zechariah 14:10. And the land shall be turned as a plain from, was it Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. It shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin Gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, unto the tower of Hanel, unto the king's wine press. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utterant destructions, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. There is going to become a time when there's no part of this earth that will not own the authority, the kingship, the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to have, there's no other kings going to inhabit it but the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen over here in ages to come. He will be at literal visible kingdom from shore to shore. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. By the way, he's going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords over the whole earth, right? And I don't know if I'm jumping ahead of myself or not, but for 1,000 years, he sits on the throne here. Jesus Christ does. But only for 1,000 years. You know who gets on that throne in Jerusalem? David. David sits on the throne in Jerusalem. I just want to give you a heads up on that. Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel is talking to Mary, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now Christ is going to reign how long?
Forever.
And forever has no what?
No
end. So that reigning is going to last forever. And ever. And ever. Ages to come. You know the verse in Ephesians chapter 2? That in the ages to come might show forth the... Okay. Ages to come. When one drops off, there's going to be another one. Another one. Another one. It's never going to end. His kingdom is going to be forever and is going to be forever, and the kingdom has no end. When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared in the book of Matthew, remember that? We went through Matthew. Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as what? King. And if you study the book of Matthew, the way God designed the book of Matthew, it's portraying Jesus Christ as king for a kingdom. Not king for a kingdom that's there. And that kingdom is not today. You with me? Not to make anybody upset, but it's for a kingdom to come. Man, that made sense to me. I'm like, whoa, you mean I've been trying to do this and this with Jesus Christ in a kingdom and he's not building a kingdom? That was exciting. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's a performance base. Man, I got to do this. I got to do that. Got to do that. People all the time, y'all been there, probably done that. Got t-shirts. Went missionary trips everywhere. Doing the work of the Lord. Trying to get, you know, the word out. Been better off sending money. If you're going to do that. Because what you cost you to get there, what you spent, they could have built 14 houses with that money. But anyway, people do it all the time, don't they? I told you I got 2 emails this week wanting missionaries to come here to this church to tell you about the missionary work. And I explained to them, I said, we're not set up that way. We give our money to Grace School of the Bible, and we got let them you know, give out where they do. Haven't heard back from them yet. I said, keep pressing towards Mark if that's your thing. But Matthew chapter, when the Lord appears in the book of Matthew, John the Baptist cries out, remember what he says? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what kingdom he's talking about? It's the earthly, little, physical, visible, earthly kingdom of David. And Matthew 5:5 says, when Jesus Christ, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's because it is a literal, physical, earthly kingdom. It's not a spiritualized kingdom. Could you imagine just sitting there dreaming all day and trying to think about a kingdom on earth, and that's all you're doing is spiritualizing it? You ever thought about that? And you wake up every day and it's like it didn't happen?
Groundhog Day all over.
Yeah, Groundhog Day. Matthew chapter 6. And get Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Jesus says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." What's he talking about there? Some spiritualized kingdom you can spiritualize? No. It's a physical, earthly kingdom where his will be executed everywhere, willingly, as it is in heaven. Chapter 21. And get Luke 12. Matthew 21. Hey, listen. Once again, when Daniel was prophesying the kingdom set up on this earth, that's also happened in Deuteronomy, where Moses talked about. And Daniel's talking about a kingdom. That's hope for that little nation. You with me? Matthew 21, verse 43. Jesus talking to the religious leaders who are going to have him killed. Matthew 21. He says to them, verse 43, Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now what's that all about? He's looking at these religious leaders that have been ruling Israel for all this time. They're apostated. They're not serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're serving the God of this world. And they think they're serving God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I'm going to take this government from you and give it to who? To somebody that's going to bring forth what? Fruit thereof. The government authority is going to be taken from these rulers and given to a nation that's going to bring fruit. Jesus is going to take the kingdom authority from Israel's leader and give it to one nation. Not nations. One nation. And the nations is the Gentile nations, right? Who is that? Who is that one nation that he's going to give to and hope that they bring fruit thereof? Who?
Israel.
Well, he's talking to Israel.
The true.
Remember. Yeah, the little flock. Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, nation of Israel.
No.
Fear not what?
Little
flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what?
Kingdom.
So he's taking that whole authority from that nation of Israel and giving it to a little flock. You think that'd make somebody mad?
No.
Crucify him. He's not taking our authority away from us. Jesus Christ, as he talks to his disciples, says the Father's going to give you. Now he don't give it to you. With me? Mm-hmm. Who's he giving it to?
Little flock.
Who he's talking to. Now, I know people out there will put you in that little flock in a heartbeat. Make you part of that nation, don't they? And tell you, see, God, Father gave you the kingdom. So you need to go out and do this, this, this. He didn't give you that. Who's he talking to? Remember sixth grade? I barely do. There's some there's some steps that I forget. But there's ways you understand English language, right? Who's it talking to? Context. Pretext. Okay? What is the subject matter? Who's he talking to? He's not talking to you and I. If we apply that book to you and I today, you're in error. You're committing spiritual larceny. And God's going to get you. You with me? It's against the law if I go to your mailbox and pull out that letter. Well, it used to be. I guess it still is. Amen. And open up Tom's mailbox and pull out a letter addressed to Tom and me open it. That's against the law.
Federal
offense. So don't go to the nation of Israel's mailbox and open it up and say that's your letters, that's your mail. You're committing spiritual larceny, guys. But he's going to take it from the leaders of Israel and give it to a new nation, a little flock that is the remnant of believers that will be born out of that situation. Romans chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, quotes Deuteronomy chapter 32. And he refers to this little flock. If you understand Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, first five chapters in Romans, it deals with justification. You get that settled, you're justified, never brought up again. But what if I, never brought off again. But what if I do, never been brought up, you're justified. The first five chapters. Get it down in you. Chapter 6, 7, 8 of Romans deal with sanctification. Okay? And glorification. Chapter 6, you're dead to sin. Chapter 7, you're dead to the law. Chapter 8, you're dead to the flesh. You're dead. Period. It don't mean nothing to me no more. How do I live? You yield your members to righteousness or unrighteousness. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to suffer rewards. If I continue in the things that I don't want to continue in, it's going to kill my body. Okay? It's going to mess with my rewards in heaven where he places us to do some things. Then you got Romans chapter 9, 10, 11. It's deal with a dispensational view of the nation Israel, that little flock. And Paul is writing them and said, hey, God didn't forget about you. Okay? You was this, 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 this. And then Romans chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 is deal with application. What you learned through those first 10 books, you can start applying it to your life. But they have three names you need to remember. Israel, here. One of them is a little flock that you just read, right? That little remnant. Second, they're called the righteous nation. Isaiah 26, 1 through 5 talks about that. So you got the little flock, the righteous nation, and Deuteronomy chapter 32. He calls it a foolish nation. And they have this, they are his little flock, his little children, his little group. They are a righteous nation. They are doing the things of God. But as people look at them, they say they're ignorant and unlearned men. They're a foolish nation. Because why? They're not following those people that's teaching them. Anybody ever called you ignorant yet? Anybody ever say this to you? Oh, this dispensation stuff that you're sharing, it's something new, isn't it? You ever have that? It's not new, is it? It's new to them or new to you. With me? But it's always been there. That's why I say, but God's a dispensationalist. He dispenses. He never changes. You know that. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the same time past, but now, ages to come. But the way he dispensed to man, who's changed? Man has changed. So he dispensed the promise. He dispensed the law. He dispensed the grace. He dispensed the kingdom. He dispenses the fullness of time. But he hasn't changed. But look, they call them ignorant, unlearned men, a foolish nation. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 19, get 1 Peter. Romans chapter 10, verse 19. Romans chapter 10, verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? What did they? Of course they did. First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will what?
Anger.
Now who is Moses talking to? He ain't looking at Pharaoh saying this.
No, the children.
Children of Israel. So he's looking at government authority that's right there, and he's saying, hey, I'm gonna provoke you to jealousy by a little foolish nation, and it was going to anger you. It would anger me too. God uses that little flock, that foolish nation, to provoke Israel. That's what this ministry was about over here. It, that little flock where God said, I'm going to take it, but it's Father's good pleasure to give to you. Wouldn't that make Israel mad, their leaders? Shouldn't that provoke them? Wait a minute. We've always had this stuff. And you're going, what's changing? And it was to provoke them to jealousy to want what they want. Hey, there's probably not a person in here who's got jealous of somebody else wanting something that they have. I'm jealous of my wife. She's got a Jeep. You know, I'm thinking, man, I didn't get a Jeep.
She's like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of you got boats. Some of you got motorcycles. That could provoke me to jealousy.
He's got an Indian for sale.
He probably got that fixed now. You know, somebody's got ranches. Somebody's got farms, goats, farmland. Boy, that could provoke me to jealousy. But you know, sometimes I have to go back and say, oh, there's a lot of maintenance to that stuff. You know what I mean? There's a payment here. You know, I don't know about that now. But look, it was a provoke. Israel, that apostate nation, you got to remember this, guys. The people that was ruling Israel since they fell into captivity has not been the real, true Israel. They apostated. They departed from the faith. Okay? And then he takes within that nation a little remnant. And he says, I'm going to take them and it's going to provoke this nation of Israel to jealousy to hopefully change their mind and get what they want. That's why I'm never, ever... Now, it's bothered me. I should say it has bothered me in the past that sometimes there's only 25 people in here out of 400,000 people in this county. And you look around like, well, everybody should hear this message. You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, Ed, just beat it down. Feed the ones that are here. Because we can set that table back there, but you can't make nobody eat. I don't want coffee today. He should have tea. You know what I mean? That type of thing. So you just set it back there. If people want coffee, they can eat coffee. But look, the action to respond in the early Acts period. That's what this is all about right here. He takes the foolish nation in response to the nation that's killed him to get in line with what God's doing. And many commentaries say that the foolish nation is nations, the Gentiles. But it doesn't say nations, does it? Plural. It says nation, singular. And what nation among the nations of the earth is he talking about? He's not talking about the Gentile nations. So what nation is he talking about?
Israel.
Little flock. 1 Peter chapter 2. Y'all bear with me. I'm going to finish this out because next lesson we're going to start in chapter 3 of Daniel. So just bear with me, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You might as well get Isaiah and Jeremiah again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Who is he talking to? Who's Peter writing to?
Jews.
Ye.
What?
Yeah. He's talking, not you, the body of Christ, but who? Who is Peter apostle to?
Israel,
the circumcision. Paul's not the apostle to the circumcision. He's apostle to the Gentiles to provoke you to come to God. He says that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. They were a holy nation. He is talking to the circumcision church, the Jewish church, that was established through the ministry of John the Baptist in the early Acts period. You know there was a church in the wilderness? Then there's a kingdom church. And do you know that today there's a church of the body of Christ? So there's three churches in your Bible. Which one of you are?
Body of Christ.
Yeah. The church, the body of Christ. It ain't a kingdom church. And it ain't the church in the wilderness. He's talking to that remnant of believers that began to gather together through John's ministry. Remember, he's a porter. He opened the door for you to identify him with his ministry who are led by the 12 apostles in the early Acts period. See, I think a lot of people forget about John the Baptist said, preach, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He gets his head cut off. Jesus Christ picks it right up. He don't change that message. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he commissioned the 12, go what? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They don't change that message. But we make sure we change it, don't we? We make sure, hey, they're preaching the grace message over there. No, they're not. No, they're not. And notice what Jesus tells the apostles about their function in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which had fallen me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne of glory. Has that happened yet? As Jesus Christ sit on his throne of glory. They're going to get regenerated over there. His throne is joy, and ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That Son of Man is a title, messianic title, that Daniel chapter 7 talks about. And Christ will be king over the old earth, and he's going to resurrect David. And David will be with king and regent over the nation of Israel itself. He promised David that. That's awesome. He wouldn't lie to David, would he?
No.
No, he wouldn't. Each one of those tribes in Israel have a prince and a judge over them. And each one of the 12 tribes will have an apostle to sit and rule over them and judge the 12 tribes. So you got Jesus Christ over the old earth and heaven. And you got David sitting on the throne after Jesus Christ gets off over Israel. Then you have the 12 apostles judging the 12 tribes. And then they're going to judge the nations. And I don't know if you ever thought about this Isaiah chapter 1, verse 25. I'm almost through, guys. It's 300 more passages. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 25. And I will turn and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away the dross and take away thy tin, and I will restore thy judges as at first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards they shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. If you go back in Numbers chapter 1, you don't have to, or in the book of Judges, you will see that God set a prince, a leader, a head of man, a judge, a counselor over the tribe of Israel, and each of them their head man. He set that government up. And God's saying he's going to restore those things, that government structure. He tells the 12 apostles, this is why you're going to be a prince over each of these tribes. He's doing, establishing that government authority in the kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 30. And get Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're about closing. I know what you're thinking. Praise God, hallelujah. What? Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 9. But thou shalt serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise unto them. He's talking to about Israel. God is going to resurrect David, guys. The Old Testament saints are resurrected at the beginning and in the inauguration of that kingdom. And David will be restored to that throne and reign over it. And he's going to be a co-regent with the Christ, but Christ is on that throne. Lord Jesus Christ is not going to live in Jerusalem. Okay? The Jerusalem that we're talking about. He'll live in a place called Shiloh in the north. And it's a great millennial kingdom. You know, we call it the New Jerusalem comes down. That ain't the same as the Old Jerusalem. So it's going to be a neutral location. And he will reign over the kings of the earth and oversee the execution of the government. You realize that even our own president has a government structure under him, don't he? And the kingdom is going to have a government structure. And David will reign over Israel and the 12 apostles over the tribes. And each of the 12 tribes will reign over a section of the earth. That's why I said on Onslaught, when God puts new heaven, new earth back together, the continents are going to be back together. And there are going to be 12 sectors in that earth. There's 12 hours in a day. There's 12 hours a night. There's 4 and 20 elders in the congregation right now. There's 24 hours. There's 24 time zones. Each one of them's got a sector. Have you ever thought about that? I got too much time on my hand, apparently. But the earth in that day will be divided up in 12 sections, guys. And each tribe will reign over that section of the earth. And now I've been looking at this continental shift before. It's something how the United States and South America, North America, South America, and Africa, and Australia, and Antarctica, and Eastern Europe, and all that was together. One big land mass. Wonderful book that Brother Bob Barlow spoke of and printed, called The Origins of Races, and how we become different races, and how the land got divided. Wonderful book. But very few biblical scholars will mention that. Okay? But Jesus Christ says, if you're faithful with a little, then you'll be ruler over what? Much. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many, many generations. Ask thou father, and he will show thee. Thou elder, and they will tell thee, when the Most High divided the nation their inheritance, when he had separated the sons of Adam, he had set bounds of the people according to the number of children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, and Jacob is his lot of inheritance. That whole passage is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. When God divides the nations up. And how does He divide them? He doesn't divide them up in seven continents and 152 countries. There you go. He says 12 divisions between the sons of Adam. God sets up boundaries between them. And God is going to separate the son of Adam with 12-fold boundaries. And He takes the nations over and He rules over them. That's going to be awesome. Chapter 28, verse 13. Chapter 38, verse 13.
38
or 28? Chapter 28, verse 13. Deuteronomy. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and not thou shalt not be beneath. There is a day coming when God Almighty is going to make that nation of Israel the head of all the nations of the earth. And God's kingdom is going to rule over the whole earth. He's going to restore authority over the earth through the instrumentality of the Messiah, reigning the kingdom over the whole planet. And all the kings of the earth will serve Him. That's going to be a day, isn't it? God has some plans for this planet, guys. And the kingdom that God of heaven is going to set up is a real kingdom. It's an earthly kingdom, a literal kingdom, a visible kingdom, a Davidic kingdom that extends over the whole earth, and the government structure is laid out in the Word of God. And you need to know about this kingdom and the way the world is going to have without end. And the God of heaven is going to set up the kingdom government, and righteousness is going to reign. Righteousness. We're not going to be able to do wrong. And isn't that awesome? Because I know when we get out there in that vehicle and somebody cuts us off, we're going to do wrong. You know? That type of thing. Any questions or comments?